it is one thing for us as the church to be pro-life and to shout pro-life, and we should. But we've got to give options and resources and help to women who think there is no other option. And that's what Pathway Pregnancy Center is doing. They are giving resources. They are giving alternatives. They are giving hope to women who find themselves in a situation where they feel hopeless and they don't know what to do. And so this morning, we are helping them to continue that mission with those mothers. So let me say thank you so much again for all that you do. This church truly rocks. I mean, honestly, we punch above our weight when it comes to outreach, grace care, missions, helping others, whatever it may be. You get it. It's not about us. It's about those out there who still need to know about the love of Jesus, and it is just great to see. So I get to continue our teaching series this morning. So you know what? Let's pray, and then we're going to dive in there. Heavenly Father, God, I just pray for every woman in this building today. God, I pray whatever story you wrote for her, that today that she would feel your presence there alongside her, that she would feel your strength if she needs strength, that she would feel your peace if that's what she needs, that you would just wrap your arms around her, God, and remind her that you are grateful for her, and so are we. And God, today we turn to your word. Grateful, grateful that we have this incredible God that we can lean on and that we can rely on, who's there for us no matter what we are facing in life. And so, God, today we just ask you, open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes. Say to us exactly what it is you want to say to us today. Let your Holy Spirit pierce us and show us the path of what needs to be changed and needs to be fixed. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am sure that a lot of people assume that if a lead pastor hires one of his family members to work alongside him, he immediately gets a rubber stamp, somebody who is going to agree with every single decision that he makes. And that may be the case in some situations. In fact, this may be why this morning you are sitting in what, to best of my knowledge, is the only father-daughter-led church on Long Island. Because other pastors have worked some things out. See, when you hire your daughter to work alongside you, she immediately bestows upon herself the power of the veto. Kind of like the president has. Which means that every decision and everything you say from that point forward is dependent upon getting a pen sign from the daughter. Which is why, at the beginning of this year, when we were going over the teaching series for the first half of 2026, and Dad said, Dad is our lead pastor, for anybody who hasn't quite got the connection yet. And Dad said, listen, we're going to be doing a series on mental health, and we're going to run that through part of April and through May. And I immediately said, but we're going to skip Mother's Day, right, Dad? Because Mother's Day, we want to feel good about ourselves. We want to be happy. We want to be uplifted. We want cheerful content on Mother's Day. And then I went away and thought about it. And I'm going to say something now that I am only saying because my dad is not with us today. Oh, he's still here. He's on vacation. Should have led with that part. Here's what I'm going to say. Dad was right. He was right. And today we're going to continue our teaching series, Help, I'm Not Okay, because we need it as ladies, as women. You know why we need it? Here is a stat for you. Women experience higher burnout rates than men, with approximately 55% of women reporting burnout in 2025 compared to 42% of men. Women are burning out at an incredible rate. Now, let me just say this. Today may be geared a little bit towards women, but in any way, shape, or form, in any other situation or context, the fact that 42% of men are experiencing burnout is a terrifying stat. So today, some of the things I say may be geared towards women, but you know what, guys, listen in, because obviously this is something that is affecting you too. Because too many of us have got to the place where we are saying, I'm fried. I'm done. I am exhausted. Burnout, here's the definition for you. It's a state of chronic physical, emotional, mental exhaustion caused by prolonged stress. In the case of women, it's often from balancing career, home, and caregiving roles, resulting in overwhelming exhaustion, detachment, reduced performance. It manifests as a deep, bone-tired fatigue that sleep can't fix, accompanied by irritability, cynicism, and the loss of identity. It is no secret that the role of women has changed over the past several decades. The number of women who are staying home to raise families is actually increasing at the moment due to the fact that daycare costs and childcare costs are so expensive, but there are still 75% of women who go out and have a career as well as having a family. And so the roles of women have shifted from being primarily based in the home, being moms, being grandmas, being great-grandmas even, being wives. And now they're also, in addition to that, career women, entrepreneurs, leaders. And then we've got the whole craziness of social media that tells us that, you know what, we should be living our lives at a completely unattainable level. We should have picture-perfect homes. We should have model, obedient children. We should have high-powered, glass-ceiling-busting careers. And we should be doing all of that with gym-honed bodies and absolutely perfect complexions. Because that's the lie that social media is feeding us. We should be doing it all, and not just at a regular rate. We should be doing this all at a crazy rate. And it can leave us all exhausted. Like there's no end in sight. Like, how does this end? I work day in and day out. I am fulfilling all of these different roles. I am answering to all of these different people. How does it get better? And then there's some nights you're absolutely exhausted, but you don't want to go to bed, because if you go to bed, you know as soon as you wake up, it just all starts all over again. And I get it. I get it. And today I am going to do something slightly different, because I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to talk to myself and let you guys listen in. Because I am 54-year-old, lives on Long Island. I am a wife. I am a mother of 5 kids. I am a mother-in-law to 4 kids. I have 10 grandchildren. And I have a sick mom that I am trying to help. I am the poster child for the sandwich generation. It doesn't stop at times. And so today I'm going to talk to myself and I'm going to say things that I'm still working on. But I think that maybe some of you are still working on those things too. And today what I want to do is I want us to help each other out. I want us to be able to do that. And the best place to find any answers, if I want to know where to go to beat burnout, is I go to God's Word. I look in there. And I want to share some things with you. In the book of Luke, we find Jesus and his disciples, and they are traveling around, and they are sharing the gospel. And they arrive in a village called Bethany. And there in Bethany, there are 2 sisters and a brother who live together, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus and his disciples come to Bethany, and Martha, being the good hostess that she is, she says, "Hey, Jesus, would you and the disciples like to come over to our house for a bit?" And Jesus accepts. And Martha gets herself all geared up. Now, she did not have the pressure of social media. She did not have the overwhelming choices that Pinterest offers to you if you are entertaining somebody at your house. But she still had a lot of work to do to get her house ready because the Jesus was coming to her house and some of his followers. She had to make sure that everything was perfect. And so she was running around from here to there, getting everything ready, not having a second to look after herself or even to sit down. Unlike her sister Mary, who had sat herself front and center in front of Jesus and was right there soaking in everything that he said, oblivious to the fact that Martha was running around ragged, running her fingers to the bone. And Martha seemed to be okay with all of that. She was good with it all. She was just doing what needed to be done until it all got to be a bit too much. And she went off on Jesus. She snapped. Luke 10, verse 40. Martha went in and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I'm horrified for her. Thankfully, of all the things I do in my life, I will not arrive in heaven with a resume that has the line, "Yelled at Jesus in person." It won't be there. I have yelled at Jesus not in person, but not having... But I get it. I get it. And I'm sure some of you get it too. We do so many things until the one thing, right? Imagine, it's a Wednesday morning. You're trying to get your kids out of bed to get them ready for school. And you're trying to do that while you are simultaneously trying to get yourself ready for work. Because as soon as the kids are on the bus, then you've got to go to work for yourself. And they are not cooperating. And then all of a sudden, one of them pops up and says, "Hey, Mom, I just remembered today is school spirit day. And I've got to wear a purple plaid T-shirt with a picture of a three-headed unicorn on it. And I have to do it today." And then out of nowhere, another one pops up, another kid pops up, and they have in their hands this wrinkled piece of paper that looks as old as like the Magna Carta. It's been all wrinkled, and it's been in the bottom of their backpack. And they bring it out, and they say, "Hey, Mom, this is that permission slip for my class trip. I've got to hand it today, and I need $100 cash, and I need a copy of my birth certificate." Right? And then just as you've got those things sorted out, and you've got them ready for breakfast, one of them announces, "Listen, Mom, I was watching on a TikTok last night, and I saw how bad they treat farm animals, so I'm now vegan as of 11 o'clock last night, and I can't eat any of this." And you just lose it. It's like just the last straw. You can't take any more. You are burned out. You're exhausted. You are done. And that's where Martha was. And so here I want to let's look at how Jesus answered Martha in Luke 10, verse 41. "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are getting worried and upset about too many things.'" And that's where I want to park today. Too many things. I get it. I get it. I work two jobs, which means that my only, for those wondering, it wasn't enough for me to follow Dad into this career. I lost a bunch of weight and I followed him over to Weight Watchers too. So I work two jobs. I work 6 days a week, which means my only day off is a Saturday. That's it. And back in March, I was looking at my upcoming calendar, and I realized I actually did not have a Saturday free until June. Which is why, When Charlotte passes from this world, this will be her tombstone. And you know what? Some of you could cross out Charlotte and put your own name right there. Because we're guilty of doing too many things. We think we have got to do it all. So here's what I want to tell you today. Number one, you don't need to do everything. You don't have to do everything. Your body was not designed to go full tilt 100%, 100% of the time. Your body was actually designed with rest that is necessary for you to function, for you to work at your full capacity, for you to do all the things that you need to do, not the things that you want to do. You need to rest. Listen, if our goal in life is to be like Jesus and to follow his example and to see how he lived, hey, guess what he did? Mark 6, verse 31. Jesus and his followers were in a very busy place. There were so many people that he and his followers did not even have time to eat. He said to them, "Come with me. We will go to a quiet place to be alone. There we will get some rest." Okay? If Jesus needed rest and he was God, how much more does my body need to rest? And if that hasn't convinced you, let's go all the way back, rewind it to the beginning. Genesis 2, verse 2, it says, "By the seventh day, God had finished his work, and so he rested." Okay? He rested. Do you know what he did not do? He did not find that he now had a spare day in his calendar. So let me see how many things I can fill it up with. He did not say, "You know what, that friend's been calling me for a while and we've been talking about going out for dinner. So you know what, now I got a spare day, I could do that." He did not fill it up. You know what he did? He rested. Rest needs to be a part of our schedules. Our bodies need rest. You do not need to attend to every function you are invited to. You don't need to schedule every minute of every day so you don't look like you're doing nothing. Doing nothing is good some days. There is this false bravado that we have in this country that, you know what, I'll sleep when I die. It's not good. Even God needed rest. We need to take it easy at times. We don't have to do every single thing. You can say no. It is a complete sentence. Don't have to go everywhere. Don't have to do everything. Don't have to worry that I'm going to miss out on something. That's okay, because you know what? My body needs rest more than I needed that something. Now, some of you are looking right now at me like I have lost my mind, because in your household, your schedule is not the issue. You got kids with schedules. So let me put on my cranky old lady hat for a second, okay, and say this. To the best of my knowledge, there is only one legal requirement for your kid's schedule. That is to go to school. Out with school, you actually determine your kid's schedule because you're the adult. We've lost a bit of this in this country nowadays, but you're the adult, they're the kid. You get to decide. God put you in a role to look after them. And what some of you need to remember is this: if your kid's schedule is exhausting you, what is it doing to your kid? They don't have the stamina, they don't have the energy. Listen, it is better for you to be able to say no to them at times. Your kid does not need to be made to think that one day, now I'm really getting cranky, they're going to be Tom Brady. Or one day, you know what, they are going to be Ronaldo. Or whatever it is. Do you know what your kid needs? Your kid needs a godly example. And a godly example actually includes rest. It includes rest. That's what they need to see. They need you to show them God's love. They need you to show them God's ways. They need you to bring them to church on the regular, not just when there's nothing else to do. They need you to teach them right and wrong. You will not be popular with them all the time. They might get mad at you at times. That's okay. That's okay. You're not there to be their friend or to be their buddy or to make them comfortable. You are there to be able to help to mold them into godly adults who love the Lord, who are following the Lord, who are looking to Him for guidance. That's your job in life. And if you do that, you will set them up for the future. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Invest what you have. Invest into your kids' lives. Invest the good things into your kids' lives. Because after a while, you will get a return. Listen, some of you moms are sitting here this morning and there's a pain in your heart because your kid isn't quite where you taught them to be. And let me remind you again, God's word can't lie. So if God says you keep investing in your kids, and there's no time limit on it either. It's not just when they're with you, that's the best part. But you just keep investing in your kids as they get older. And the Bible tells us you will get a return for that. Your kids don't need to do everything. And this morning, I want to remind all of you out there, and primarily myself, we don't need to do everything either. It doesn't need to happen. We need to make sure we have rest be a deliberate part of our lives. We don't need to do everything. Hey, the other thing, you don't need to do everything alone. If you go back to the beginning of this chapter, Luke 10, that we are looking at, and in verse 1, it says this, after this, the Lord chose 72 more followers. He sent them out in groups of two. He sent them ahead of him into every town and place where he planned to go. So here's Jesus. He always had his 12 disciples, his companions, his helpers. But he knew for the task that was ahead of him, you know what? I'm going to add some more. So actually, he added another 72 followers to be part of his group, to be part of his team. And he sent them out. Now, here's the thing with that, okay? Jesus was God, okay? I realize I'm stating the obvious, but let's go with it. Jesus was God. He did not need helpers. He could have, had he chosen to, done it all by himself. He's God. He didn't need to rely on anybody else. He didn't need to pull anybody else in. He didn't need to hire anybody else, but he did. He invited others to be a part of what he was doing. So the question comes, why do so many of us try to do everything by ourselves? Here's three lies that I think are part of the reasons why we try to do everything by ourselves. Lie number one, if I don't do it myself, how will I know it's done right? All right, come on. Who are my fellow control freaks in the room? Okay, admit it. Okay? Right? It's so funny. We were just having a conversation, the worship group, and we were chatting out before we prayed before service, and we were talking about the fact how many of us actually have husbands who load the dishwasher wrong. Right? Okay? Okay, I have a husband who is afraid to put anything in the dishwasher. And then I yell, why didn't you put it in the dishwasher? And he says, you're just going to re-put it in the dishwasher anyway, right? But we tell ourselves this lie. If I don't do it myself, how will I know it's done right? Hey, listen, we're slowly killing ourselves with this. And here's the thing I want to tell you this morning. I hate to break it to all of us. there is a very good chance that there is somebody out there who can do what you think you can do perfectly better than you can. But I don't give them the opportunity to try because I tell myself nobody else could do it like I do it. Right? We got to get over that one. All right, lie number two. Here's another one. No one cares. No one is here for me. Last week, Dad made this statement, and he said this. He said, your emotions are real, but they may not be reality. Let me mix that up a little bit and switch it up a bit, and let me say this. Your thoughts are real. They're real because they're in your head. But they may not be reality. Our thoughts lie. The devil tells us lies. My guess is that sitting here today, there are not too many people who don't have an incredible support system. Groups of people who care for them, who love them. And they're just waiting and ready for you to say the word to them. Friends, family, church family. If you are sitting in Genesis and you are a regular part of the Genesis family, I know there are people here who care for you because that's what we do here. Your thoughts may be real. They may say, nobody cares. There's nobody there for me. I am alone. But that is not reality. And then here's lie number three. I'm just being a burden. I'm just being a burden. Today is a day of mixed emotions for me, I will be honest. My dad is away, so I'm staying with my mom. And so this morning, my mom, I went into her room and I said, good morning, Mom, happy Mother's Day. And I got no response because my mom doesn't know that it's Mother's Day due to the Alzheimer's that she had. She really doesn't know much of what is going on. She doesn't say anything at all. And so it's a day of mixed emotions. One thing about Alzheimer's, they call it the long goodbye. And the thing about the long part is it gives you a lot of time to think and reflect on how life was. And one of the things about my mom is I remember growing up, and I don't know if she had an inkling of what was going to happen. I don't think she did. I just think she wanted to cover all her bases. And she would say to us over and over and over again, if something happens to me when I get older and I can't take care of myself anymore, please put me in a facility because I don't want to be a burden to anyone. And she would tell us that over and over again. I know heaven is supposed to be a peaceful, quiet place, but when we get to heaven, if you hear a yell, it is because my mom discovered that we did not follow her wishes. Okay, just giving you the heads up right there. But here's the thing. This morning, as I was taking care of my mom, as I was bathing her, as I was dressing her, as I was getting her ready for the day, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, this isn't a burden. It's a blessing. Because my mom's still here. And I get to do these things for her when she did so much for me my entire life. It's not a burden. And you know what? If I didn't have that to do now, I'd be missing out on the blessing. My mom is still teaching me things without even saying a word. Listen, folks, if we try to do everything by ourselves, if we try to take everything upon ourselves, if we don't invite other people into our story and into our journey, we are robbing them of a blessing. Of being able to be there for us, of being able to help us, of being a part of the story that God is writing, of being a part of the mission that we are involved in. When we try to do it all by ourselves, not only do we get burned out and fried, we're robbing others. We really are. We need to make sure that we don't feel like we have to do everything in this life alone. We don't. We don't. There is no reason why that needs to be a case. In fact, I will say this. for a lot of us, talking to myself, one of the reasons why I feel like I have to do everything alone is pride. I don't want to have to ask for help. I don't want anybody there. Or there's the pride of, I don't think anybody could do it up to my standards. And you know what the Bible says about pride? You know, it actually does not say pride comes before a fall. Do you know what the Bible says about pride? Proverbs 16:18. Pride is the first step towards destruction. You burned out, you're fried, you can't do anything else, you are on the road to destruction. Let's make sure that pride isn't the thing that's getting us there. Let's reach out to others. Let's allow others to be part of our journey. Let's allow them to help us when we need help. You don't need to do everything. You don't need to do everything alone. And thirdly, let me just say this. In the midst of life, in the midst of everything that is going on, make sure that Jesus is always the main thing. Make sure that Jesus is always the main thing. Back to our story, Luke 10:42. Jesus is talking to Martha after she's gone off on him, and he continues and he says this, only one thing is important. Only one thing. Mary has made the right choice, and it will never be taken away from her. Here's the crazy part of this story that sometimes it's hard for me to wrap my mind around, but then I get that I kind of do the same thing. It's that Martha had Jesus in her house. And she was too busy to spend quality time learning from him, being there and absorbing what it is that he had to say. But how many of us are like that? We're so busy with life that God gets the dregs, the leftover time, the leftover energy, the leftover attention. Whatever is left, God, it's all yours. And in all honesty, there's not much left by the time we get to that point. See, here's the thing. The devil can't get to God. He already tried that. He lost. Okay? But what the devil can do is he can try to get to God's kids. That's us. And one of the devil's favorite tools is busyness. Busyness. If I just keep them going and doing and being involved in participating in, if I just keep them on the go all the time and I can keep them busy enough, then you know what? I can disrupt their connection to the one who gave them life. I can disrupt their connection to the one that they have to be connected to in order for them to live at their full potential. That's all he has to do. He's just got to keep you too busy, folks, so that you don't have time for God and the things of God. And he wins because you're not going to be able to have any energy or any motivation to do what you need to be doing. We were made for fellowship with God. We were made and created to be connected to God. Without that, we burn out. We say, I'm fried. I'm exhausted. I'm done. So if the devil has his way, those crazy morning routines mean that my daily devotions get shortened and shortened and shortened until, you know what, God, I just don't have time. I'll do it later. If the devil has his way, exhaustion from all our obligations means that, you know what, I just don't have the energy for the things of God. If the devil gets his way, my ridiculous schedule and my kids' ridiculous schedules mean that coming to church becomes dependent on whether or not I have anything going on that day instead. And little by little, my connection to God gets smaller and smaller. And the main thing is no longer the main thing. See, God's promises are true. He can't lie, so everything he says is true. So here's one right from Jesus' lips. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. He'll give you everything you need, but it is dependent upon what? I seek God above everything else. That God becomes my priority. Not my schedule, not my calendar, not the things that I like to do or the things that I want to fill my time with, not my kids' schedule, whatever it is. When I seek God first, he promises that he will give me everything that I need. And so this morning, some of you are sitting here today and you're just gassed. You're done. You're out. And today I want to remind you of something. If you need energy today, guess what? Start seeking God first. Because he promised that when you do that, he'll give you everything that you need. If you need release from stress this morning, if you just got too much going on, then you know what? This morning, seek God first. Because he's going to give you the thing that you need. You need comfort this morning. Put God first. You need strength this morning. Put God first. Everything in life that I need is right there. But you know what? If I put God first, and I don't know how it all works. I don't know if I need more time in my schedule, how giving time to God and the things of God is going to make it magically appear. It's kind of like tithing. I don't understand tithing at all, but I know it works. I know those weeks when I give God my 10% first, and I don't quite know how the rest is going to work out, that when I put God first, it all does. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God. He has never, ever seen one of his children begging. And so this morning, the reminder is this. Make God the first thing. So when your morning routine gets crazy, you know what? No matter what, I put God first. That devotion goes in there. And he promises he'll get me through the day. On Sundays, coming to God's house, that comes first. No matter how crazy and everything else I need to do. And you know what? He says he will make sure to take care of all of my needs. Everything that is going on. If I'm under financial strain, I tie to God first. You know what? He promises he will take care of me and things from there. Burnout is no joke. Too many people nowadays are living with the words, I'm fried, pretty much tattooed across their forehead. But today I want to remind you, there is some things that we can do. There are some things that are going to be beneficial for us. Number one, we can't do everything, and we don't have to do everything. Rest needs to be a part of what we do. Number two, we don't have to do everything alone. Listen, there are people out there who would love to be a part of what you are doing and a part of your story, and you are robbing them of the blessing if you don't let them be a part of it. And number three, ultimately, it comes down to make sure that Jesus is always the main thing. Whatever is going on in life, whatever is happening in life, seek first the kingdom of God, and he will give you everything you need. So I guess the question to all of us today is this. Is there somewhere that you need to make a change? Is there a somewhere where I was talking this morning that you said, yeah, that's me. I'm burnt out, but I realize that part of it is the things that I am doing. And if you know there's somewhere that you need to make a change, here comes the next question. So what are you going to do about it? What can you do to make the first step towards saying, you know what, I want to be free from burnout. I don't want to live mentally and physically exhausted, overwhelmed, not sure which way is up. Okay, God, you know what? I don't understand how it works, but here's what I'm going to do. And I am going to trust and rely that you can take care of me and that you can help me from here. Hey, let's stand and pray together this morning. And just in the quiet, I just want to invite you. Have your own conversation with God. The Bible tells us, cast all your cares on Him. And so this morning, quietly in your own head, what is it that's causing you anxiety? What is it that's causing you stress? Just give it to Him. Hand it over. Heavenly Father, we come today and we acknowledge that there are so many things in life that we do wrong. And we acknowledge the fact that for some of us, we are just too busy running from here to there. And today we're reminded that we need to rest. That we need to recover from the craziness of life at times. That we need to turn off our phones, turn off anything that anybody can get hold of us with, and just spend some time to ourselves. God, we also acknowledge that for a lot of us, we are too busy trying to do this life alone, and that wasn't how we were created. You put us in families, biological and spiritual. And God, we ask today that you would help us to learn to lean on our families, to bless others by enabling them to help us, by not being too prideful to say, I don't know how to do this, or you know what? I know that you could do it better. Help us to invite others to be with us. And God, overall, help us to be people who are just like Mary, that we just want to absorb everything of you, that we lean into you, that we make you the main thing over everything else that is vying for our attention. And God, we praise you for the fact that you have given us the book on some of the ways that we can beat burnout. And God, I am praying this week for miracles in this room, for release to come for those who have been a prisoner to burnout for too long. And God, we give you the praise and the honor because we know ultimately that you are the source of our strength. You are the source of our life. You want good things for us. And we know that those are in store for us. God, help us today to have joy in everything that you have lined up for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.